Hello, everybody. Tyrone here. Thanks again for listening. We are so ecstatic about the support you've shown us thus far, but if you have the means to support us on Patreon, it will definitely help to lighten the load. You can check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/moduscritica or visit our website at moduscritica.com. If you haven't already, head over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks so much for your continued support. Anyway, enjoy episode 4 of Modus Critica. Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. Our party made their way through the dungeons of Barnabas Mansion in search of a certain someone that was to be dealt with before a meeting with Master Barnabas would take place. As they traversed the dangerous dungeon riddled with puzzles, the party met face to face with LeBron Lemaire, an elven man turned vampire, and a battle ensued. Laid waste by the party, LeBron lay dying as Aurora Barnabas rushed to his side, ending his suffering and sharing with him a few last thoughts. An angry Gord Godhand made his feelings about vampires known as the party gathered intel on the happenings in the Shadowfell and the Fae. With much more than they started out with, our party makes way for Senelise and the Queen of Summer. Welcome to Modus Critica, the 4th episode. We are 6 nerds rolling dice. We are here, then henceforth, to roleplay, roll heads, and roll more dice. Those 6 lovely nerds are...
I'm Kyle. I'll be playing Dario Sidolfo, cleric of Mercule, and he is feeling self-righteous.
Sid here, playing Gord Godhand, the paladin barbarian. And fun fact about Gord, doesn't really like vampires at all.
Hey, I'm Caitlin, least nerdy, most cool. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a very anxious turtle monk.
Hey, my name is Zach. I play Nevlin, the thrice great, the circle in the square, the chiefest of calamities, and my number is 420.
What a stoner.
Hi, my name is Eric, and I play Cornelius Fluffy Bum. Just let me get his voice here. Yeah, there it is. Cornelius is a Herengon, and he's a druid, and he is very excited to turn into an animal and talk to animals, and maybe turn into a tree one day.
And I am Tyrone, I'll be your dungeon master, and I'm here to throw down. I don't fuck around.
That's true.
Dude, he does. Dude does fuck around.
He throws down so often.
So you guys have just had this conversation with Aurora Barnabas, and she has so ever politely told Dario to fuck off. And Charles is waiting for you at the bottom of the stairs, and he looks at you all and he says,
"Shall I see you to the front door?"
"Sure, if you want. By the way, what did you guys talk about? Anything useful?"
"Quite honestly, Gord, if you were in there and you did hear some of the things that were said, I think it would have gone bad, so..."
"Yeah, I think he would have been real mad, Gord. But she did give us some stuff, dude. We got some, I got some, crossbow bolts and, I don't know, some money, I guess. That was about it. It was kind of boring."
"Yeah, here's a bag of money for you."
Oh, thank you. Shall we head out?"
Yes.
"Yeah, all right." So.
As Charles leads us out, can Gord go into that room that Torque and Nevlin stole from?
We did not steal from it.
Attempted.
Yeah.
Are you gonna try and sneak in there?
Nope.
You're just gonna go in?
Yep, Gord's gonna go in.
Okay, so you walk in and Charles immediately turns around, questioningly looks as you walk into the door, and he follows, and he comes up behind you and he's like, "Can I help you, sir?"
Nope, and he goes and opens up the chest.
I would highly advise against that, sir.
And I would highly recommend that you shut the fuck up. And he intimidates him.
Okay, roll intimidation.
All right, go on.
That's a 12.
Yeah, he rolled a 17 plus 4, so that's going to be a 23. And he looks at you, and you see the veins in his neck pulsate, and they grow. And you can see his arms start to strengthen, and they flex as the paleness in his skin seems to, like, become vibrant. And he slowly tries to calm himself, takes a couple deep breaths in, and he says, "Sir, please, I would advise against..."
I'll tell you what, your master wants us to be victorious in whatever we do, right?
Continue.
Well, some of my comrades went into this room earlier and found some stuff.
No, I don't know what he's
and
talking
frankly,
about. Nobody did that.
Torque, it's all right. And frankly, some of us could use it.
No, now you change your mind.
If you do need more, please go down to the armory. But this room is off limits.
Fine. And he walks out the door.
Okay.
Just walks past everybody.
As Gord's walking past, Nevlin sort of mutters at him, "Yeah, I guess morality's sort of subjective there, eh, Gordo?"
When it comes to vampires, nothing subjective.
Hopefully we won't run into too many more of those.
Charles is a dick.
That's right, Tor. He's a dick.
And you guys leave the house?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So after you guys leave Manor Barnabas behind, having all the information at your fingertips now, you guys are setting on a path to St. Elise to meet the Green Knight and his queen, yes?
Yes.
All right.
So as you are traveling back through the streets of Evernight, I would like you guys to all roll me a group stealth check, please.
Oh. Well, Cornelius got a 9.
Gord got an 8.
Dario got a 16.
Dirty 20 for Nevlin.
Torque rolled a 22.
Okay.
22.
So that's a pass. 22. That is a pass.
Math is hard.
So as you sneak your way out of town through the back alleys of Evernight, you look to blue skies. Some of you say goodbye to your home, while others bid good riddance to a now fiend-infested slum. As you approach the field through the gate of Evernight, you see a beautiful landscape, save some areas that have been touched by the corruption from the stones. Tall grass flutters in the wind as far as the eye can see, and colorful flora brightens the sight. The smell of the soft, warm breeze is pleasing to your senses after your trip into the Feywild slice of the Shadowfell.
We'll head east. We'll straight on past the second peak. We'll stick to the Fey trails.
Caitlin, can you roll me a D100? And Zach, can you roll me a D100?
Oh boy, I would love nothing more than to roll what you just said. Okay, I got a 10.
Okay, and Zach?
I got a 50.
Okay, as you guys are traversing the fields of the Feywild, you come over the peak of a hill, and on the other side of it, you see...
Mules?
Stork.
Sorry.
Keep it quiet, okay? Don't know what's out here.
You see two mules grazing.
Are there any goats?
No goats. Your goats are back home.
You see two mules grazing.
Two mules grazing on the lower portion of the field down at the other side of the hill. What do you do?
Oscar, Oscar! And Torque takes off sprinting towards him.
High or low, Caitlin?
High.
One of the mules spooks and runs, but the other one perks its ears up and it snaps its head back towards you and it lets out a loud bray and it starts running towards you.
Is it in slow-mo?
Yeah, of course it is. How else do people run?
Yeah, like hella slow-mo.
Can I see this spooked mule well enough to tell whether or not it's Therian?
Yeah, you definitely can tell that it's Therian.
Sorry about your mule,
God
but
damn
my
it, Torque.
Sorry, it's not whatever. Hey, Oscar, it's really you. Oh, man. Boy, am I so glad that you're safe and sound, buddy. Come
Nevlin lets out his regular whistle to bring Therian to attention.
And you see Therian do like a huge, long-winded roundabout. And slowly
yeah, whenever you're ready there, buddy.
Back towards you. And it runs up the hill and kind of, gallops to a stop at your feet. And you can see it's still got the wagon harness on and everything. He's just, like, chilling, happy to be in the wild.
I've lost the cart, though.
You've lost the cart, yeah.
Dad, damn it. Atherian, we lost your cart, buddy. Half my livelihood along with it, but it's good to see you.
Are there any bushes around?
Yeah, there's probably little thickets here and there.
I go duck into a bush for 30, 40 seconds.
Okay.
Have a little pee.
Have a little poop.
Funny poop.
Release some pebbles.
Are they round?
Yeah, they're like little pebbles.
So Cornelius goes for a poop. Torque and Nevlin, you've both been reunited with your mules.
Suddenly, I care about this podcast.
Yeah, Nevlin pulls the cart harness off and just kind of discards it by the side and jumps up onto Therian and kind of puts his feet up on his back and lights his pipe and continues on.
Nevlin, okay. Why are you using your buddy like a couch?
I'm using him like a mule, Torque.
Don't worry, Oscar. I'll never do that to you, buddy.
While this was going on, I looked to Dario and I go, you know, I gotta ask one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she told you about this. Did she tell you who those hooded people were that were protecting the sorcerer, you know?
Oh, yeah, they were part of the ritual. They were Seraphim's ilk. That's a straight up lie. Of course, I'm trying to cover for myself.
Roll deception.
I rolled a nat one.
Okay, and Gord?
I rolled a two, but my insight is a zero, so it's still a two.
It's still better than a one. Two beats your nat one, your automatic fail anyway. So, yeah, Gord, you can tell that Dario is so full of shit, his eyes are brown.
Beautiful metaphor.
Yes, you know, we are kind of in a bit of an exposed area. I think we should probably continue before it gets too dark.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, guys, let's get going. Come on.
All right, let's
okay.
go.
Come on, Oscar.
Okay. Do you traverse your way through the delicately elegant fields, sticking to the Fae Trail as suggested by Cornelius, when you come across a fire pit in a meadow where sits a short mushroom creature, hands bound behind a post, as he tries with much effort to free himself of said bonds? About 100 feet past the fire. It's Torque gasping, right?
Yeah, and both of us.
About 100 feet past the fire pit, there are four robed figures in the distance that stand back turned, leaning over what looks to be some sort of map. As you slowly come to a halt, the mushroom creature seems to notice you. It looks directly at you, and in a hushed tone, it says,
Hey, a little help here? I think I done got fucked up again.
As the creature speaks, the two robed figures immediately turn around to you and take an offensive stance. Two of them draw weapons, and two of them begin casting. Roll initiative.
Gord got a 7.
Dario got a 16.
Cornelius got a nat 20.
Nice.
Hey, my name's Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Grade. I rolled a 9 on initiative.
Torque rolled a nat 12.
A nat 12?
It was very organic.
That's exciting.
Thank you. Nerds are gonna think I'm such a dumbass for calling it a nat 12.
Was it just a 12? He didn't.
No, it's actually a 13.
Okay. You guys walk into this ravine, and directly up ahead of you on the left is the mushroom creature is trying to get out of its bonds. And about 100 feet straight in front of you, you see two magic users and two fighters, and they are all looking like they're ready to fight. Cornelius, you are first, top of the round.
Well, I'm useless. I don't have any spell slots left. I am going to run up to the mushroom creature and start untying it.
Okay.
Nice.
Roll me a survival check.
That's going to be 19.
Yeah, these Shadar Kai goons definitely didn't tie a very good knot, and you're able to actually untie the mushroom creature this round. Okay, that's the end of your turn?
Yeah.
All right, next up is going to be Dario.
Okay, so I walk up beside Gord, and I grab my medallion of Mercule as I extend out my other hand to touch his shoulder. A little bit of light glows out as I mumble some words, and I'm like, "May the guidance of Mercule bring you good fortune in your next attack." And that's 1 minute concentration spell, just to give him D4 to add to a rolled number check of his choice. Per round, I suppose.
Just one.
Yeah, just one, and then the spell ends.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Dario.
Yes, and then I walk further forward just to sort of close the gap.
Okay, so that's your turn, Dario?
Yes.
Okay, next up is going to be Torque.
Okay, so Torque immediately is going to be like, "Oscar, why don't you go hide in a tree or a bush or something, buddy? This is too dangerous for a mule like you." And then Torque is going to move out from behind Gord and come to stand beside Gord, and he's just going to ready in action. So if one of the robed figures attacks any of the members of our party, he's going to ready his crossbow to shoot a bolt at them, or at the person attacking.
Okay, so you ready in action?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, next up is going to be Nevlin.
Nevlin moves forward his maximum movement, which is 25 feet, and you see that glyph appear around him again as he casts Mage Armor on himself.
Okay.
Taking a fat toke.
Taking a fat toke off his pipe. Yeah, a little puff of smoke, a little glyph surrounds him, and I now have 16 AC.
Dope.
And he's, I guess, now just standing out in front of all you guys waiting for these bastards.
Question, is it a water pipe?
Like a bong? Is it a bong?
Or is it like a Gandalf pipe?
It's a traditional burl pipe.
Not of the corn cob variety.
Not a corn cob pipe.
I used to think that was a real pipe.
It's made out of a pop can.
An apple. Is it an apple?
Okay, so next up is one of the mages. Now, I just want to be clear. You guys do know these cloaks. Everyone but Cornelius would have seen these people in the Shadowfell, and you would know them as the Shadar Kai. They have an insignia on the side of their hoods, much like the Circle of the Magi, and the red stripe that runs halfway through the cloak. They're the same on all of them. So the first mage moves forward and blinks out of existence, only to show up 30 or so feet in front of the mushroom creature, and from his hand erupts a firebolt, and it is targeted at you, Nevlin. I'm gonna roll to hit. Oh shit. That's gonna be a 18 plus 6.
It hits.
Okay, and you're gonna take 1d10 fire damage. That's max damage. 10 fire damage.
Oh my god!
Oh, that hurt.
I don't imagine it wouldn't have. Then it's gonna be Gord.
Wait!
Oh, right, sorry. Torque, you can, you ready your action to attack, so go ahead and roll the hit.
Yeah, Torque is very upset and confused, and he says, "Well, you just, like, disappeared for a second, and then you reappeared, and, here we go, here's my crossbow coming at you, buddy." And it's gonna be a 20 fucking 4.
Yeah, that totally hits.
And he's using just a regular crossbow bolt that he forced Aurora to give him. So, bitch. Yeah, I rolled a 1, so that'll be 5 damage.
All right, yeah, this bolt looses from the crossbow, rips through at supersonic speeds, and catches the mage directly in the shoulder. You see it pass directly through, and a stream of blood is flowing out of the wound. That's the end of your turn, yeah?
Yes, please.
Go, Gord Godhand.
As Gord can't really do much, he takes out a javelin, and he walks forward and says, "If you know me, you'll fear me. Get out of here before we kill you all." And he tries to intimidate them.
Okay, roll intimidation.
20, dirty 20.
Okay, so I'll roll for the two mages first. One of them looks questioningly at you. One of them smiles and continues starting to cast a spell. The first fighter, fuck me, both of the fighters look at each other and they begin to back away. Is that your turn, Gord?
That is my turn.
Okay. The second Shadar Kai mage starts to cast a firebolt into his hands and he hurls it forward at you, Cornelius. Okay. That's going to be an 18 to hit.
That's a hit.
All right. You're going to take 5 damage on that.
Okay.
And that's going to be his turn. Next is going to be the fighters. He sees the mage starting to fight back, and he's going to, I'm going to roll a D100, and I'm going to pick high, and if it's high, he's going to stay and fight, and if it's low, he's going to run away. So this guy is going to continue to run, and he runs off the map.
What a fucking wussy.
The second fighter is going to do the same. And this guy sees the mage and is feeling confident. He returns back to the battlefield and starts making his way back down. And then it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
All right, so Cornelius is going to start running towards the individual who is closest to us in the middle. And while he is running, he's going to point right at the guy, and then he's going to turn into a wolf.
Whoa. I mean, woof.
Or sorry, and he's going to turn into a boar.
Oh. Even better.
And he's going to do a charge attack.
Okay.
And that's going to be, oh, that's a miss. I rolled a 2.
I ran right by him.
I ran right by him.
So is that going to be your turn then?
Yeah, I guess that's about all I can do.
Yeah, it was getting
sorry
kinda,
for that
it was
boring round.
Oh, I was just making a pun.
Yeah, we all were.
Dads are quicker.
All right, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Okay, I move over to Nevlin, and I grab the Amulet of Mercule, and I place my hand on him as healing energies pass through my palm and into his body. And I give you an extra 5 HP.
Hey, thanks, Dario. You know, you're a good guy when you're not trying to bring about the end of the world.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, anyways, I got to go this way.
Yeah.
I move my way back to the Mushroom Man.
Okay.
The Mushroom Man?
The mushroom man.
Is that going to be your turn?
That'll be my turn.
Okay, and then it's going to be Torque.
Well, all right. Torque is going to run up in line with his pals closer to the enemy, and he's just going to draw his crossbow again and try and shoot the nearest enemy to us.
Okay, so the guy on your left-ish, the mage, you're gonna...
Yeah, he's gonna murder the mage.
Okay, you go ahead and roll to attack.
We're very confident. And that is gonna be a 23 to hit.
That's totally a hit.
That will be 10 damage, please.
Yeah, you let loose another bolt from your crossbow, and it connects. This bolt catches this mage directly in the neck, and you can see the bolt sticking through its skin, and lots of blood's coming out. It seems to have missed the artery, but it's bleeding. Loads.
And since Torque is now standing very close to Gord, he's gonna look at him and he's gonna say, "Oh boy, Gord, you see, I told you that crossbow was a good idea."
Yes, it was, Torque. Good job.
And that's gonna be your turn?
Yep.
All right, then it's gonna be Nevlin.
Nevlin, he's positioned sort of behind Gord. He's going to move to his side and sort of do a little flourish behind Gord's back, coming out to his side. And as he steps out from behind Gord, he blasts 3 magic missiles at the mage who attacked him in the beginning.
Nicely done.
So that's going to be 3 missiles that automatically hit, and they do 1d4 plus 1 force damage.
Okay, roll damage.
Nine damage total.
Nice. Yeah, these 3 magic missiles impact this mage, sicking it with its own medicine, and each bolt penetrates its robe, and you can see the singe marks left on its skin from these missiles as it takes 12 damage.
Effective penetration.
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
All right. With that, it is going to be that same mage's turn. As it gets blasted with these magic missiles, it coughs blood into its fist, and it looks down at it, and it looks back up at you, Nevlin, and he starts to stir the pot again.
Is he making stew?
And you see these lights start to form in his hands, and he looks at you, Gord, and his eyes turn black, and he cocks his head to the side, and he says, "Attack the mage." And I need you to roll me a wisdom saving throw.
21.
Yeah, you feel this mage start to fuck around in your head, but your battle-scarred mind manages to snuff off the flames inside your mind, and you calm yourself.
I look back at him and I say, "There's only one voice in my head."
All right, and with that, it's going to be your turn.
And with that,
I move towards both the mages, and taking a cue from Torque, I throw my javelin at the mage that Torque hit.
Yeah, range weapon.
And that's a nat one.
Oh, damn.
All right, roll me your d6.
Three.
All right, yeah. You go to toss your javelin, and you just straight banana slip on some foliage, and you go ass over tea kettle, and you are now prone.
I stand back up. I brush off, and I go, at least one of you was smart enough to leave. And I take out my quarterstaff and stand in front of Dario and Nevlin, protecting them.
Okay. So it's the first mage's turn. Standing behind his brethren mage in front of him, he's going to actually back up, and from here, he is going to cast Magic Missile as three magic missiles fly off towards you, Gord.
Gord can take it.
Bring it.
14 damage as these three missiles rip out of the garb of this mage and fly towards you. Gord, hitting your armor.
I've got no armor on.
Oh, right. You took the armor
He's
off.
Naked,
takes my bare
remember?
Chest.
See, this
hits
is
my
what,
bare
yeah.
chest. My nipples get hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, the heat.
One of your nipples is singed. So that is going to be the mage's turn, and the fighter is going to keep moving down towards you guys. And he comes right next to you, Gord. And as he does, he looks over at you, Dario, and makes eyes at you and kind of squints. Why don't Gord, Nevlin, and Torque roll me a perception check to see if you notice that.
19.
Natty one for Nevlin.
Oh, that's an 8 for Torque.
Okay, so, yeah, Gord, you definitely see this happen. It's right in front of you.
I look back and I go, you know this fucker?
Nope, let's kill him.
And with that, he's going to make two attacks with his dagger at you, Gord. That's a nat 20, and that's an 11 plus 4 for 15 to hit.
15 would hit, yep.
So 1d4 plus 2 is 6, plus 5 is 11
yep,
for the
so
first
down.
Hit.
Gord gets hit and he falls to the ground.
Fuck. Okay, I guess he stops there. And as you fall to the ground, he continues to make eyes at you, Dario, and grips his dagger tighter. With that, it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
All right, so Cornelius is going to disengage and move away from the, is that the mage that I'm yeah. next to? I'm going to move about 15 feet away, and I am going to come out of my animal form, a waste of wild shape, but whatever, and I'm going to summon my wildfire spirit, using up my only other wild shape, and I'm going to place it right between the mage and the fighter that are closest to me.
It's a mage and a mage.
Two mages.
Two mages.
And they both need to roll beat a 14, dex save.
Okay, first one fails.
Okay.
Second one passes with flying colors.
All right, the one that fails is going to take 9 damage.
Okay.
And I believe that is my turn.
Okay, so this this elemental lashes out at these mages as it twirls around, and one of them manages to, like, duck out of the way, but the other one takes the full brunt of it, and this fire just singes its arm, and it screams in pain as it pats out the fire. And with that, it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, I move around Gord as he's fallen to the ground, bleeding out, and I immediately go for the Shadar Kai in front of me, the one who's like squinting at me. And I'll be like, "You won't have time to say anything." And I pull out my my mace and I go to home run his head off of his shoulders.
Beauty, roll the hit.
That's probably not a hit. I got 11.
11?
Yeah.
On the fighter?
Yeah.
Just miss it.
Yeah, so I whiff, like the mace kind of flies in front of his face away as I don't quite connect, and I'll be like, oh no. And that'll be my turn.
All right, and then it's going to be Torque.
Torque is going to run out from behind his buddies, and he's going to go straight up to the mage who is closest to them. He's going to, on his way, he'll drop his crossbow. He's ready to get down and dirty, close up with this motherfucker, and he's going to draw his short sword, and he's going to take a swing at the mage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Roll the hit.
That'll be a 19 to hit.
Definitely a hit.
Yeah. I thought so. So it'll be 5 damage for the short sword.
Yep.
But then... Just wait, there's more. Torque is feeling inspired, and he's a little bit nervous, and he closes his eyes, and he says, "Oh boy, Jacko, I hope I can do this. You told me I could do it, so I'm going to try." And he's going to use one of his key points to use Flurry of Blows.
Dope.
So, which means when I'm attacking, I can spend one of my key points to make 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action instead of just the 1 with his normal little turtle claws. He gets 2.
Nice. Okay, so roll the hit for those.
So, oh, fuck me. that's an 11.
That's not going to hit the mage. Nope.
Okay, and the second one will be 17.
That's a hit.
Awesome.
Roll damage.
That's going to be 5 damage. And this time he's going to use his claws on his toes, just so you know. It's not his hand.
Oh, so
you
like coming for the toe kick.
Yeah, he's going to do like a little cartwheel.
Oh, yeah. And you slice him. You slice him right up his chin.
Yeah.
You go for the throat, slice up
There's
the chin.
There's going to be an infection. Yeah.
He immediately has athlete's foot in his chin. and salmonella poisoning.
So much salmonella.
That's so good. A little bit of, throw some E. coli in there too.
Yeah.
And he does not look good. Like you have brought him to a level of, he looks like he's close to death's door. But that's going to be your turn?
Yeah, I think that was productive. Thank you.
It was. Next is going to be Nevlin.
Fucking Gord.
He's the noble fighter. He's the noble the tank. Cannon.
So Nevlin, being sort of behind where all the action is going on, is going to take the opportunity to get down on the ground beside Gord, and he pries open his mouth, and he's going to try to dribble his healing potion into Gord's unconscious gullet.
Yeah, you do that, no problem.
Excellent. And it kind of slaps him on the cheeks. He's like, "All right, Gord, wake up. We got work to do here."
Huh? What? Huh? I'm up. I'm awake.
And then he moves back away from everybody. And as he's backing up, he looks over to our mushroom friend. And he's like, "Hey, buddy, we could use some help here. You any good with a knife?"
I do have a knife. I have a little bit of training, but honestly, man, I'm kind of shit in my pants.
Yeah, well, we all are.
I mean, okay, I can try. I'll definitely try.
How about instead of shitting your pants, you get off the pot? You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he stands and he firmly presses his feet into the ground and kind of stands on his tippy toes, bends his knees, and pulls out his dagger.
Right on.
Okay.
That's the end of my turn.
Okay, so it is now the second mage's turn, and he is going to get the fuck out of there, and he's going to misty step away. So he teleports off up away from you guys, kind of out of the battle to the north a little bit, and he is going to cast a firebolt in his hands and hurl it towards you, Dario.
Dang.
That's going to be a 21 to hit.
That's definitely a hit.
Okay, you're going to take 1d10 damage. 5 damage to you as this firebolt smashes into your armor.
Blah, that is hot, hot, hot.
Nice. Then, Gord, you don't have to roll a dexterity, but you are prone, and it is your go.
Fantastic. Gord stands up, looks at the fighter, and says, "You know, when you knock me over, I will get back up again." And he rotates around him and slaps him with his quarterstaff.
Okay, roll the hit. At advantage, yeah?
Yep. Okay. 13?
13 will do it. Motherfucking
Fantastic.
Leather armor and shit.
Fantastic. That is 8 damage.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you come standing around behind this guy, and you go to just give him a light tap with your quarterstaff, but you fucking clock him in the back of the head, and you stagger him as you see the blood starting to pour out of his hair.
And I say, "You had a chance to leave. Now you'll be going away in a body bag." And that's my turn.
Fucking Horatio and shit.
He takes his sunglasses off.
So that's your turn, Gord?
That's my turn.
Alrighty. And then it's going to be the fighter. He turns around. He is pissed, and rightly so. He took quite a bonk on the noggin. And as a bonus action, he is going to cast Shield of Faith on himself. So a shimmering field appears and surrounds him with a brilliant light, and he gains +2 to his AC for the duration. And he is going to look directly at you, Gord, and he's going to multi-attack.
And he gets another nat 20?
No, he swings his sword, and as he does, he's still staggering from the blow to the head that you gave him, and he completely misses you. Goes to do it again, and he just can't make heads or tails of where you are. His head is just spinning, he's seeing double, and he misses you both times, but at least he's managed to put up the shield around him. And it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius again.
All right, so here we go. Cornelius is going to run up to that mage that's there next to my wildfire spirit.
Yep.
And I am going to use my action to attack the mage. And that will be 14 to hit.
That's going
to
hit.
Oh, nice. For 4 damage.
Okay.
And then that is actually the end of my turn. It's the Wildfire Spirit's turn. I will eventually think of a name to call it.
That was my... Okay. I was about to ask you if it had a name.
It'll Gerald. Get one. Gerald? I was just going to say Jerry almost.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jerry is fitting.
We'll figure it out. I got to get to know it first, you know, it's the first time.
Jerry Fieri?
Jerry's like a nickname for Gerald, yeah. Or short for Gerald.
Yeah. But anyways, my wildfire spirit is going to use fiery teleportation, and the spirit in each willing creature of your choice within 5 feet can be teleported up to 15 feet away to an unoccupied space.
Okay.
And that motherfucker's going to have to take another dex save.
Yeah, he fails.
He fails. So that's going to be 1d6 plus my proficiency bonus. That's going to be 6 fire damage.
Okay.
And we are actually going to teleport down just south of Torque.
Okay. So as you guys teleport, this elemental leaves this blazing tornado of fire behind it as it teleports, and it catches onto the robe of this mage, and it spreads quickly to its tunic, and its tunic erupts into flame. And it starts screaming and running away as it slowly penetrates the skin, and he falls to the ground in shock, shaking, and as the fire burns, you can hear the skin singeing, and he dies.
Cornelius does, like, for his bonus action, even though he's already finished his turn, does, like, a bit of a moonwalk and says, "Some like it hot, hot, hot."
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Okay, and if that's your turn, it's going to be Dario.
All right, from where I am, I stay standing, but I hold on to the amulet of Mercule again, and I look over to that mage that teleported away initially, just up and off to the north, and I say, "The dullest tones of death come for you." As I cast Toll the Dead, he's got to make a wisdom saving throw at DC 13, and has he sustained damage already?
In this fight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's important to know. But anyways, make a wisdom saving throw.
13, you said? Wisdom saving throw +4, so he gets a 10.
All right, then I do a D12 die necrotic damage. And I roll a 2. Bong. And it's like, ow.
Two damage?
2 damage.
Yeah.
Necrotic damage.
This guy's pretty in tune with the dead as is, so you try to hit him with Toll of the Dead, and he hears the tones, and it hurts him, but deep inside, he likes it. It's pleasurable to him.
Weird. I know that feeling.
And then I remain standing, shield up with that other guy in front of me.
Okay.
Waiting for Gord to strike him dead.
All right. That's your turn?
Yes.
All right, then it's going to be Torque.
So Torque is just going to turn to his right, and he's just going to take a few steps over to the mage flanked by Dario and Gord, and he's mm-hmm. going to lash out with his short sword.
All right. Roll to hit.
So 22.
For sure. You smoke it.
Fantastic. And that'll be 8 damage with the short sword.
Okay. Yeah, you slash into him hard, and there's a big cut now on his leg, and he's bleeding pretty bad out of it.
Excellent.
But he's still standing.
Okay.
Torque, finish him. You got it.
Torque's gonna attack with his toes again.
Okay.
More, get his nuts.
More specifically, his toe claws, and that will be a 17 to toe hit.
That's gonna hit.
Okay, great. I'm just so pleased. oh, good. Max toe damage.
Don't get any toe jam in there.
So that'll be eight damage.
Yeah, you slash across his face and cringes as he feels the salmonella entering his bloodstream.
Undoubtedly, he smells it too.
Yeah, he can smell the toe jam, and he. and he cringes as I'm cringing.
I might
now.
Edit this out. We'll see.
And with that, it is going to be Nevlin's turn.
So Nevlin, having taken a safe distance behind the rest of us, or the rest of the party, is going to once again, he pulls at the sling that hangs off the top of his staff, and as he's pulling it back, it starts glowing this sort of radiating red and orange light, and he closes one eye and kind of sticks his tongue out, and he lets go, and he's firing a chromatic orb at the last remaining mage.
Okay.
I'm going to use my inspiration to get advantage on that.
Shit, yeah. Roll it up, brah.
Oh, first roll was a nat 20, man.
Woo!
Oh.
Woo! I hate to see my fiends die, but I love to see them nat 20s fly.
So max damage is 24.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to roll just for fun?
Plus 9.
Okay, so you know in like Mega Man when you beat a boss and they go.
Yeah.
Fractalizes?
Yeah, he completely just disintegrates and just poofs. And he is gone of this plane, of the next plane, and of the next plane after that. There is no Shadowfell for this man. And there is no afterlife. You have wiped his existence clean from the multiverse.
Excellent.
Powerful chromatic orb.
Nevlin looks over again at the mushroom kid and he goes, "See, that's how it's done, buddy."
Yeah, it's actually going to be his turn now. So he looks at you, Nevlin, and he's like,
"All right, buddy, I'm going to do this. I'm gonna get off the pot and go take a shit."
And he fucking runs straight forward towards the fighter. He's gonna take a swing at this thing with his dagger. And he rolls a 12 plus 6 is 18 to hit. So I'm gonna roll some damage on that. And shit. He's gonna do 7 damage to this fighter. He comes in with the dagger strong, and he just, like, jabs the fighter directly in the leg, right next to where the big wound is. And you see the fighter drops to one knee and then gets back up again. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord slowly moves from side to side while this fighter is distracted. And he says, "Look, buddy, you're not making it out of here alive, but we need some information." And he's going to take a swing at him with some dual damage.
Okay.
19 to hit.
Yeah, that's gonna do it.
Awesome. 8 subdual damage.
Yeah, you knock this dude unconscious. He falls to the ground, and you guys have cleared this battle.
Fuck yeah.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
Somebody tie him up. I'm gonna go get that map. And I start heading over to map.
Okay, and you get to the map.
And I'll also shout behind my back. Once he wakes up, we'll interrogate him.
You get to the map, and you're looking at the map, and you see this beautiful decorative map, and it is a map of the Feywilds. And it's got all the cities, all the villages, the lakes, the everything, essentially, for those of you listening at home. It's a world map that you guys now possess, which we will upload to the website and so on and so forth for your viewing pleasure, made by my brother, Eric.
Cornelius.
And you now possess a map of the Feywild, and roughly distance-wise is a bit askew in the Feywilds. Things seem to change and alter as you travel, but a generalized points of the cities and stuff like that, you'll be able to find your way around quite a bit easier now in the Feywild with this map.
Fantastic. Does it kind of replicate the Shadowfell in terms of landmarks or not at all?
It's similar but different. It's this a lot of the cities are similar to the Shadowfell that you know. It's pretty closely represented, but there are some subtle differences, things that just don't make sense to you.
I roll it up and I head back towards the group and toss it to Nevlin and say, you know, I'm pretty good at map topography, but seems like you know your way around things more than I do.
Hold on to it for you, Gord.
Gord is getting back, or he walked away initially. I wanted to check on this unconscious guy, and I wanted to do a medicine check. I want to use my medicine check to do damage to him and hopefully kill him on the sly. Can I do that?
You could do a sleight of hand check to maybe, like, hit him in a carotid artery or something and try to bleed him out before he regains consciousness.
Oh, I'm
shake
really
him
bad.
Vigorously, maybe.
That's right, reopen all of his wounds again.
Yeah,
you were not a nice man.
No, I know.
You're very mean.
I'm doing that on purpose.
But I think as far as medicine goes, I don't think you'd be able to pull anything off at your current level or not having any poison on you on hand.
I'll just be like, I back away from him because I realize that I can't pull a move like that yet. So I just kind of step away.
Okay.
Well, if no one else is going to do it, I'll tie him up.
Okay, so you tie the guy up?
Yes, I was just waiting to see that he's, he's okay, he's breathing fine. I don't know how to tie things. Yes, he's fine.
If you can't tie knots, tie knots.
Tie tourniquets, you know, they're easy.
That's it.
Okay, so you move out of the way, and Evelyn ties him up, and this mushroom creature just kind of looks staring at you all. He kind of cocks his head to the side a little bit, and he's like, who in the fuck is that guy?
What, the one that we just captured?
Yeah, I mean, like, he seems pretty badass.
Well, do you have Stockholm Syndrome? Or...
Didn't they tie you up?
Yeah.
I mean, they did, but I mean, I didn't really get a good look at him.
Oh. I take a closer look at him and I go, you know, he does kind of look badass.
Yeah, what does he look like?
What are these guys called again?
These are the Shatter Kai. Roll me a history check. Gord, Tork, Dario, Nevlin.
Net fucking... 20.
Nice. Yeah.
I rolled a 4.
Oh, I rolled a 2.
I'm not even gonna bother.
2 - 1.
So, yeah. So, Gord's like, don't you know? God, these are Shadar Kai. Like, you see these guys everywhere. So, and they are. They were everywhere in the Shadowfell. They were basically like the Queen's Guard when the Raven Queen was in power. But after the Shadar Kai Rebellion, they became more and more elusive, I suppose. They had more of an agenda. They weren't just guarding the Shadowfell and keeping order with an iron fist. They were actually, like, dispersed and in and around. You'd see them, but you wouldn't know what was really going on. But they do look very badass. They usually have black leather armor. Usually,
cigarette pack like, rolled in his sleeve.
Yeah, fuck totally. Yeah. With purple undertones, and the robe that they wear over their back are like jet black, very, very light leather material that's almost, it's smooth, but there's a big red rigid line that goes across the back of it about midway down. Usually these Shadar Kai have facial tattoos, tribal art tattooed all over their bodies for different meanings. But anyway, that's how badass these things are.
Kind of convey that information to everybody and I go, hey, we should also check the bodies. See if there's any useful material on any of them. We'll wait for this guy to wake up.
Sounds good. I'll go and check the mage.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And I'll search this guy.
So we've established this guy's badass. What does the mushroom buddy look like? Like, is he more of like a shiitake or like an oyster mushroom?
Roll me a nature check there, Cornelius.
22.
Yeah, so you would know, Cornelius, Myconids do not generally wear clothes. They don't have names, they don't talk to people. It is very strange that this small Myconid is talking to you, let alone wearing full, like, leather garb and holstered weapons and shit. Like, he's looks like a little tough guy. He, by all means, should not be for his race. But he does have a large mushroom cap over the top of his head. He doesn't really have a face, although there are, like, kind of some holes that resemble what might be eyes and possibly ears. But his mouth is so small and faint that you can barely see it move when he talks.
That's fucking adorable.
While we wait for this guy to wake up, I'll say, hey, Mushroom, what's your deal?
Hey, man. My name's Damon, all right? Most people call me Spud.
That's a potato.
You know what? Don't knock it if you don't. Wait.
Whatever, I support you. I support you.
So, Spud, how'd you get into this sticky situation?
I mean, I was just, you know, you know, I was out cleared out some bad guys and, you know, being a big strong mushroom and, you know, these four of them, they all ganged up on me and I ended up getting tied up and I couldn't get out of my bites.
All right. They let you keep your knife, though.
Well, I mean, they threw my knife just beside me, out of reach. I mean, I haven't got much for arms, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, they're really, kind of one of my flaws. They're silly and small.
You know what? You got toe fungus.
Well, you know what? You are a fungus.
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of my thing.
You guys, I don't like this guy. Let's go.
hold on. Maybe you know something. I mean, you're from the Feywild, right?
Yeah, I'm from Senilise.
You're from Senilise?
Yeah, I'm from Senilise, yeah.
That's where we're headed.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, does this mean he's gonna come with us or something?
I mean, I could take him.
No, you don't have to. Let's go, guys. We don't need this guy.
Actually, Dirk, it would be important to have a guide to bring us there, because what was the thing about getting lost very easy?
Yes.
Oh, you mean about the Silver Grove?
Yeah, I know about the Silver Grove. I know about the Silver Grove. Jakku told me about the Silver Grove. We're fine. Well,
I mean, Dirk. Jakku? I'm sorry, I just demonstrated that.
Jakku totally died faster. Before he told you anything about the Silver Grove.
I mean... Yeah. What does it matter?
I mean, I don't mean any disrespect. I could take you there. I mean, you can't get lost for an eternity if you if you part eyes from the Silver Grove when you go again. It can be a little bit daunting.
Well, you know, two guides are better than one, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
I understand.
I say we take the kid.
Oh man. Yeah.
Take the kid. A Torque, I know first impressions can be hard, but there will be more opportunities.
I mean, I sent Oscar off into the bushes. I mean, like, is he fine? Oscar, where are you, buddy? I mean, I didn't really think that we had to stay so much on the trail. Like, he's probably okay, though, right? Oscar, where are you?
Oscar, you turn around and Oscar is in the exact same spot where you left him. He didn't go anywhere.
You know, he's
just like...
He's very stubborn. He likes to do his own thing. Sometimes he doesn't listen. Oh, but that's all right. He's his own autonomous being.
Well, Spud, you got any family in Senilise?
I mean, just the queen, really. I mean,
what do you mean the queen?
Well, she years back, she took me in, and I was in the woods, and I guess she was on the way to the bays. This is how she tells it, anyway. And she saw my form. And she said it was such a strong form, big arms. And she picked me up and she brought me back to Senilise. And she nursed me into the strong young man that I am today. And she, you know, she taught me to speak common and elven and clothed me and gave me a name. You know, apparently my ancestors don't even have names. They only communicate through telepathy, but... I mean, I could do that. It's no big deal, but...
How long you been outside of Senilise?
I just left this morning.
Fair dinks.
Why'd you leave?
Because I was looking for the big bad bosses.
Well, I mean, what were you going to do when you found them?
I was going to defeat them, you know, like all the heroes in the Feywild. You know, like the Knights of the Great and stuff. Vestibule. You know Vestibule?
Yeah, we know Vestibule, but what do you mean the big bad bosses?
Oh, I don't know. These guys...
I mean,
an idiot.
It's a good thing we came across you. You have such a willful bravery and also naivety. Yes. But we are here now. Travel with us for a time. Perhaps we can show you some things.
Do you think, Spud, you can get us to the Queen?
Yeah, that's not a problem. I'd take you to Senilise, no problem, man.
That's great. I didn't actually know how to get there.
Cornelius, well, are you serious?
You've got to understand that here in the Fae, sometimes it might take you 10 hours to get somewhere, sometimes it might take you 6 to get to the same place. Things happen here.
Yeah, that's because you're just going around in circles, dude.
Nope.
Alright, well, Spud, do you think the Queen would like to question this guy? And I
kick the body on the ground a little bit.
Probably. I mean, he tied me up. Maybe he was going to touch me in an appropriate way later. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he wants to, yeah. You know what? I bet you would.
That's a wild assumption.
Spud, is there anywhere nearby that we might be able to set up camp for the night? Safe place.
Set-a-lease is not far from here.
Oh.
Why don't we regain some composure and we'll get some things out figured out. We'll wake up this schmuck and we'll get moving. Dario, can I come talk to you for a sec?
Yes, of course.
I walk off with Gord for a moment.
Yeah, I take Dario aside. I go.
What seems to be the what you got on your mind there, big guy?
Well. You know, I was a soldier for a long time, but...
Me too. What regiment were you in?
We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. I saw the way that he looked at you, and...
I did too. Very strange.
I feel like I'm putting two and two together. I'm gonna be keeping a close eye on you for a little bit. But, I think... Perhaps this guy might be able to tell us some information, and as long as it's nothing too incriminating, I'll let it slide.
I get the feeling that you believe that somehow me and this individual are connected. I've never seen him before, and I hope that nothing is misinterpreted. But yes, certainly let's question him and see who he is and why he is here, and then maybe we dispose of him afterwards. Who knows?
Maybe. Anyways, you should go maybe tell Tork to lay off the mushroom. I don't want to be the father figure for everybody here.
I'm going to roll a perception check to see if I overhear what they say.
Okay. Roll for that.
That's going to be 19 plus... it's going to be 25 in total.
Perking ear up.
Yeah, your ear perks as soon as you hear the start of the conversation and you hear everything.
And I come back and I go,
All right, Spud, your great and magnificent form is much appreciated in our next endeavor. Do you know anything about interrogation techniques?
He sits up straight and he pushes his shoulders back and he's like,
yeah, I know a thing or two about interrogation.
Yeah, well, do you want to get your hands dirty on this one? Get some modicum of revenge?
Okay.
I can do it too, Dario. I can do it real good.
Tork, it's not. I just want this. You know what? Maybe you can both work together on this
it would be a good thing. Maybe.
All right. Well, we can work together, but I'll do it better.
There you go. That's the spirit.
All right. Now go and shake awake the captive.
I guess. Yeah, he wakes up, and you've got him tied up. Yeah, he's still lying on the ground. Yeah.
And we've searched the bodies. By the way, did we find anything on any of the bodies?
A couple daggers.
I'll take one.
You find a pouch containing 18 gold. So yeah, as Tork and Spud approach,
God, this is gonna be the worst interrogation.
I'll stand behind you, Tork, and I'll flex my muscles and intimidate him if you provide me
so
a help action.
He's surrounded, and Tork and Spud approach the Shadar Kai fighter. And Spud looks at him, he's like, where did you come from, man? Where did you come from?
Yeah, where did you come from? I want to know where you came from.
And the Shatter Kai fighter looks up at you, Dario, and then looks back to Gord, and he's like, are you serious? Are you serious right now?
You better...
Just kill me.
I'll murder you real good.
Tork.
He asks for it.
And Spud comes up, and he puts his dagger down, and he holds up his weird, mushroomy spongy hand. Yeah, his nubbins.
This sounds like a baby punching.
Yeah, and he does. He comes up to him, and he just fucking he's like, and lays into this guy, and it's just like a spongy thud, and he's like, he's just kind of like has a face of a bit of discomfort, like kind of like someone flicked him in the nose.
Can Tork slap him with his claws?
Yeah, go ahead and roll a hit or roll a damage, I guess.
Oh fuck yeah!
Gentle Tork.
So Tork's gonna look at Spud and be like, man, you're so stupid. You don't even have fingers. This is how it's really done. And then he does 6 damage with his little turtle claws.
All right, and then you come in with the claws, and you reopen the wound on his face, and he slowly starts passing out.
I pick him up, and I shake him away. I look at him, and I go, you're going to listen to them, and I'll try and intimidate him.
All right.
15.
Well, he got 15, too. Let's roll the break. Straight d20.
10.
12. Ah! He spits in your face.
That's disgusting.
Cord holds back.
Torx sits on him.
Torx sits on him?
Yeah, not
he's
with all his
gasping. He starts
not
gasping
with all his
for
weight.
Air.
Not with all 450 pounds, but he sits on his legs. He sits on his legs.
Shell shock.
Yeah. Oh, and you start to hear his leg bones crush under the weight of your body. As he screams in horror, he's like, make it stop!
Tell us what you know!
Where are they?
He slowly passes out and then reawakens from the pain and takes a big gasp in his lungs. And he looks at you and he's like, what do you want to know?
What do we want to know?
What are you doing in these woods?
Oh, we're scouting.
Scouting for what and who?
Scouting for creatures.
What kind of creatures?
Of the magic variety.
Well, what are you gonna, you're in the fae.
There's a lot of kind of magic, buddy. You gotta be a little bit more specific.
What's your intention with these beasts?
Was that Kyle or is that Barry?
What is your intention with these beasts?
Kyle's very invested.
Totally forgot.
We were to study them.
Study them why?
And he's looking around feverishly, and
the other guy's still long gone, ain't he?
No, he tries to. He sees that that Spud dropped his dagger, and he tries to reach for the dagger, but he can't reach because of Torque's body weight on his crushed
legs.
I'm
winning the interrogation. I told you.
He says, "We need to study them for Seraphim."
Study them for what?
Seraphim.
All right, we're taking you. And I pick him up and I go, he'll be useful, especially when we meet the queen.
Yeah.
One last question. How do you know this guy? And I gesture to Dario.
He looks at Dario and cocks his head to the side and he's like, I do not know this man.
I'd like to do an insight check.
Go for it.
That's a 12.
He appears to be telling the truth.
All right. Well, Dario, I apologize.
That is okay. I know I was seemingly suspicious, but I hope that my actions speak louder than rumors.
I hope so, too. Let's kick off, make it to Sinelise before sundown.
Yeah, I guess
hate to know what's out here.
Guess we don't need Spud anymore. Let's go.
Spud's coming with us, Torque.
Yeah, babe, I'm bringing you guys to the joint.
Yep.
Well, you can't ride my mule. Nobody, don't even look at my mule. Don't even look at him.
So you guys walk forward and you exit the ravine and
all is still as you climb atop the last hill and approach the forest of the mother until a faint breeze washes over the field, persuading the thistles and tall grass to do a hypnotic dance. The sinking sun lights up the forest floor in an array of beautiful bright colors, and upon the horizon you are almost blinded by the silver light atop the trees.
So Spud looks at you guys and he's like,
now remember, don't lose sight of the silver grove.
And I need to get you guys to roll me a joint constitution saving throw.
20. Nat 20.
I got a dirty 20 as well.
Nice.
Gord rolled an 8.
20s.
Yeah, 15.
You guys do it no problem. You got eyes laid on the silver grove and you walk. And as you're walking, Spud looks at you all and he's like, I'm like really impressed, guys. This is, I've seen people get lost in these woods and you guys are not doing it. It's great.
As you make your way through the forest, it gives way to unnaturally gigantic chunks of silver barked trees, their numbers impossible to count. You approach the massive trees and notice the bark seems to magically fade back and forth between silver and earthen tones with an audible hum. The ground has a soft, spongy topping of moss that leaves the air feeling cool and damp. You look upwards, hoping to see some resemblance of the sky above, but all living things here perspire and create a unique weather system obscuring your view. All you see now are the trees that seem to end in the clouds above. All is silence save the chirping of small birds and the rustling of leaves when your attention suddenly centers on the arrows knocked in front of your face. You are all surrounded by 15 Eladrin elves that seemingly came from nowhere. One of them smirks and says,
"We could smell the total salmonella before you entered the forest."
That's not what he says.
It is what he says.
Don't you dare toe shame me.
Yeah, you're toe shaming.
He looks down at Spud, and then he kind of like, his eyes kind of go wide, and he's like,
"Apologies. We've been on high alert given the news of Astra's alien. Vestibule is expecting you and awaits your arrival in the chamber of the Court of Stars. Please, brace yourselves."
Before you know what's happening, you and the Eladrin are lifted on a platform made of tightly woven roots and vines, slowly and silently rising up to the canopy above. Through the haze, you see the first of the lights in the mist. They look to be of houses or huts, crafted into the wood of these trees, not cut or made, but shaped. As you break through the fog, Senelis reveals itself in a breathtaking sight. Everything seems to shimmer softly and the fog seems to dissipate in the village. Husky tree branches meet with vine bridges in many directions, forming paths to numerous homesteads and structures, all of which are natural and timeless. The city seems to bustle with purpose, and all manner of creatures can be seen moving around. Forest elves and Eladrin, fairies, gnomes, and Herengon pass by as lit-up pixies zoom around, trails of golden dust in their wake. All of your senses feel attuned as you begin to hear an intoxicating melody from a satyr's lute, and as you're guided through these delightful images and experiences, you see a large proscenium ahead, and the Eladrin warrior motions you inside. The room is expansive and domed, tiered on all sides for seating, and a table of living wood in the center. This chamber is lit with a soft summer glow, the source of which is unknown. At the head of the table sits a throne made of ivy and flora in full blossom, one, you would assume, that is fit for the gods. As you bask in the brilliance of this room, a set of double doors on the northern side of the room open and a beautiful Eladrin woman enters the room, elegantly resting her arms to her side. Her hair seems to be held up by living vines and several pink orchids, a breathtaking contrast against her pale skin. She wears a transparent green gown with a long earthen sash made of ivy and twine, which seems to shimmer all the while. Behind her walks in Sir Randrick Vestibule, who comes to her side and clears his throat, following with,
"Fiends, may I so gratefully introduce Lady Tiendra, first and only of her name, the upholder of the peace, and the Queen of Summer."
And that's where we're ending the session.
Dun, dun, dun!
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.